Well, you'll make me cry. It doesn't take a lot to make me cry, but I love my family so much, and I'm incredibly proud of the children God's blessed us with and the way they're serving God. And I don't take that for granted, so thank you. Those who know me know that I very rarely will ever preach without props, and today I've really, actually, Peter, if I could get you maybe to bring the big prop over here. Okay, he needs to be on the chair. Okay, and then the other ones can come on this side of me. Okay, you may all be looking and thinking, wow, here's my furry family. Yep. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, the big one here actually belongs to our dog. We have a very big dog, so a big dog needs a big teddy bear. So this is his teddy bear. For those who haven't met our dog, he's more like a horse, and he's gigantic, and he drags this around. This is his teddy bear. He was very distraught this morning when he saw me taking it out. He thought he was coming too, and then when I shut the door and he's inside and his bear's outside, I think it was like he did not know what had happened. So just for a few hours, this is his dog. That is also this is his teddy bear. That's also his teddy bear, and that he has two. And these are different ones that I'll introduce to you during the message. But the title of my message today is, if you're going to be a bear, be a mama bear. Those who know our family well, you'll often hear a phrase that we use. We say, if you're going to be a grizzly bear. We got that phrase from a rom-com many, many years ago. And Peter he doesn't like rom-coms. But he was watching this one, heard this phrase, and he just loves that. I don't know if he even knows what rom-com it's from, but he really loved it. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly bear. And he started then using that as a real mantra in our family. Basically, what it means is that if you are going to do anything, give it your everything. Okay? A grizzly bear is not the largest, like it's not like this big guy down here, but is considered the most effective due to its power, speed, and its intelligence. And they said if anybody is going to do damage, it is a grizzly bear. And as I was preparing for the message today, I hadn't actually planned on preaching on bears, but the Lord dropped this into my heart, if you're going to be a bear, be a mama bear. And I thought, it's Mother's Day. The Lord must have something in mind. A mama bear is a slang term for a mother who is intensely, fiercely, or aggressively protective of her children. That is me. Similar to a mother bear in nature, the person is known for being loving, but will do whatever it takes to defend her cubs. Women who are very protective of their children and will not back down to others to defend them are given this title. So the concept and the phrase mama bear comes from the fact that a mother bear, they said it doesn't have to be a grizzly bear, it can be a small bear, there's a lot of different bears, except koalas, they're not bears. But it doesn't matter, it can be a little bear like any of these, but they said when their children are in danger, something happens, and they said the smallest bear can become one of the most dangerous animals because of the internal instincts that they have. And that's why other animals, they said, very quickly learn you do not fight a mother bear. A mother bear is known for fierce protection. It's known for boundary setting to protect its children. And the term is derived from the observation of mother bears in the wild, as I said, who are the mother bears out of all the animal kingdom are renowned for their high stakes protection of their cubs. They have instincts to protect their cubs even before they're born. And they said more than most animals in the animal kingdom, they will make sure that their cubs are born in an area that is protected. They make a den and they will keep them there for a long time to shield them from potential predators until they are strong enough to fend for themselves. And that, so a mother bear does not live for herself. That's one of the, they said, a mother bear will sacrifice everything, including her life, for her children. Now, if anybody's watching online and you're here thinking, I thought we'd come to church with, you know, this is like a National Geographic show. No, it's not. There is method to my to what I'm saying. I am, and anybody who knows me or has known me for a long time knows that I am a mama bear. The mild-mannered pastor's wife will switch very quickly if any of my children are attacked, or my husband. I said, this, I will be loving, I will be sweet, but you attack my family, there's another side to me. And I say that because that's the way I've always been from when my kids were young. And now two of them are married, they're all adults, we have grandkids, but nothing has changed. You don't hurt my adult kids any more than you hurt my little kids. And that mama bear instinct is still there. And, you know, there's a story I want to share. A lot of you have heard it, some of you won't have. But bears repeating, because in this story is going to bring me to all the points from the Bible of my message today, and that. And the story is one about Jay that some of you have heard. Now, Jay, do you have photos up there? Yes. Okay. Isn't he cute? Okay. Where are you, Jay? Jay, can you just run down here just for one sec? So people who are online or visiting who don't know, he's not that cute kid anymore. Okay. Here he is. Look, that little boy grew up to be this. The reason I'm telling you, you can go back to the screens. The reason I'm telling you is I don't want any of you to think of the story I'm about to share with you and think of Jay, current Jay. I want you to think of that little boy, because that was the age that he was when this story happened. So Jay had gone to a Christian conference with his older siblings and their friends. The people running the conference, and I'm not saying who it was, had developed a method of getting people into the building by letting people in only by 25 at a time. They had a particular number. They would let 25 in, not one more, not one less. And then they would put them in one section of the building, and then the next 25 would be put in another section. And they had developed this because they were seating over 7,000 people at a conference. It was a very, it's John Cain Arena in the city. And so they had a lot of, so this was their system, and the rules were not one more, not one less. Now that I'm not saying that the system itself was bad, but there is a flaw in it, and the flaw was picked up with my family, because Jordan's three older siblings were in the end of the 25, and then they just shut the door and left him out because he's number 26, and you cannot bring 26 in. And even though my older kids begged, yelled, got upset. No, we can't let him come through because, you know, because he's not in the 25. He's 8 years old. So, you know, like now, as I said, there's a point where you would love to think that, you know, there'd be some sensibility there. You know, there'd be like common sense says you don't leave an eight-year-old out because and sit him on his own. But it wasn't there, and they were forced in, and then they weren't allowed to go back. So then they tried to say, well, we can't leave him, but they weren't allowed to go back. It was a pretty ugly situation. They ended up ringing me, and praise God, because every day we declare that we'll be in the right time at the right place. Peter and I happened to be driving, because we weren't going to the conference, we happened to be driving literally past the venue. When they told me what had happened, this mother bear rose. I mean, I went from a little mild banner to this one. I was ready to rip somebody to pieces, I'll be honest. And I got Peter to pull up on the side of the road, the Yarra River. I jumped out, I ran across, ran past all the queues of people, ran up the front, demanded I get in because my eight-year-old boy I know is now in the building, you know, on his own. And so I am very upset. I tried to explain to them what would happen, but nothing would still, there was no you know, nothing seemed to register. They said, I'm sorry, ma'am, this is our system. I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is my son. And then in the end, I knew where he was because we'd managed to locate him at where he was. So I just started to go. But they started to accompany me, probably pursue me, was probably the word, telling me, you are not allowed to go there, that section's full. I do not care if that section's full. My 8-year-old boy is on his own in that section. And this, I was having a conversation as I was running faster. One of my children who was running behind me said, the mother bear has been aroused. The mother bear had been let loose. They began to try to stop me, and then I still remember just saying, get out of my way and I am coming through. And one gentleman, I use that word, he said, excuse me, ma'am, if you don't stop, we're calling security. And I said, if you don't let me get to my child, I'm calling the police because you've kidnapped an 8-year-old. And I kept on going. And then it was like, but then they still kept coming. And I do remember slightly pushing one of them. I didn't hurt him, I'm sure, but I do remember physically pushing him. But nothing was going to stop me getting to my son because that was my child. And my child was in my mind, he was in danger and he was distraught. And this mama bear was really unleashed. And that no rules or regulations or people were going to stop me reaching Jay. And that's why I have these pictures, because this is him. You could look at Jay and think, now he can handle himself. He's 6'3". Like, yeah, this is little Jay. This was pre-Jay growing. And I got to him. He was extremely upset. The ushers were upset with me. I didn't care. I took Jay and that we left. And to this day, I can still remember the feeling. In fact, when I started to think of this message, it came back like it was yesterday. No one was going to stop me. I did not care who stood in front of me, behind me, around me. Nobody was going to stop me getting to my child. He was in a 7,500-seat auditorium on his own with people that he didn't know and I didn't know. I was not going to let this continue. And one of the characteristics of a mama bear is that she will go to any effort or any she'll do anything, any length to protect her young. Now, I want you to see the word her. If I had been at that meeting as a bystander and I had seen a young child sobbing, as Jay was, and that by the time I got to him sitting and sobbing and scared and on their own, I would go over and I would comfort them. I'd say, are you okay? I would say, can I get you somebody to help? You know, I would do all these kind of things. But I wouldn't probably run through the venue pushing people apart, threatening to call the police, anything else that I did, because I was very unhinged in a godly way. Anything else I said that day, I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't my child. Now, a person of compassion, I'll never see anybody in need anywhere without going and at least trying to help them. But it is totally different when it is my child. It was my son. That was my flesh and blood. And I was going to go and save him, whatever happened, take him out. There are many stories in the Bible where that same mama bear spirit, where people showed it. If you could put up for me, Jay, Luke 8:43-48, I'll just read it through, but it's a woman with the issue of blood. It says, in the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhaging. She'd spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. At that very moment, the bleeding stopped and Jesus said, who touched me? Then it goes down to say, Jesus says in verse 48, daughter, you risked everything trusting me and now you are healed. Her determination to press through that crowd and touch Jesus paid off because she got her healing and she was fully restored. But sometimes we can read these stories and we can fictionalize them. Do you know what I mean? And that we need to understand that woman was an outcast. That woman was unclean, and the laws of that day meant that woman shouldn't have been there any more than I should have been running through John Cain Arena, because I wasn't in the 25, running through trying to save my son. She had to push past boundaries. She had to do things which were totally, you know, probably out of anybody's comfort zone, because she was going for her healing. Her healing. Okay? She was going because she needed to touch Jesus, and nothing was going to stop her from being healed. That mama bear spirit and that was there, and she was pushing through to receive her healing. Another one I love is in Luke 5, where it talks about the friends who lowered the man through the roof. I love this story. And that I'll read it just for the sake of time fairly quickly. But it says Jesus was teaching, and there was a whole lot of people there. This is my paraphrase. And the power of the Lord was there to heal. And some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. Excuse me, but finding no way to bring him because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the midst in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their confidence in him and their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven. Rise and be healed." I love one of the versions said, they crawled onto the roof and dug through the roof tiles and lowered the man's stretcher and all into the middle of the crowd. Now, you just imagine, again, it's so easy to fictionalize these stories. Imagine we're in church this morning and suddenly you hear somebody on the roof and you think it's not possums, it's too loud. And then you suddenly see, you know, bits of the roof coming down. And then you see somebody lowering down a man. Like, I stopped and thought, wonder how safe the man felt. Like, you know, you're being lowered down on a stretcher. You realize that the effort and that mama bear spirit that those four friends went to, because that was their friend, okay? I ran through John Cain Arena because that was my son. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd because that was her healing, her right to be healed. These four friends, you know, who paid for the roof repair? I mean, you know, seriously, or did they always have a hole in the roof? You know, like, they went to extreme lengths because it was their friend, okay? There's another one story in the Bible of a persistent widow, the story of a mama bear, and that's a persistent widow. It says that Jesus told a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. Then he told the story, there was once a judge in a city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for the people. But a widow in that city kept after him, yelling, "My rights have been violated, protect me." He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, "I care nothing what God thinks. I care less what people think, but this widow won't quit badgering me. I'd better do something and see she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up black and blue by her pounding." I like that. That was me that day. I love that she wanted justice, and the judge knew that if she didn't get it, he would end up being physically injured. The organisers of that conference possibly... not the organisers, actually, probably the workers may have thought that about me, but they still pursued me. They did still try to stop me, and that. But that persistence, because that widow wanted justice. It was her right. Something had been done wrong to her. You know, yesterday it was interesting. Peter and I got a text from somebody within the church family, and you know, something that had happened to them that. Just this week, and it was really wrong. And I remember we were in the city celebrating Peter's birthday when I got the text. Something rose up within me. I said, "That's my church family. That's my friends. That mama bear spirit. They deserve justice. And we're going to press through and we're going to pray until we see them get justice." Because in this case, that woman, it was her reputation. It was her right. It was her justice. You know, there's somebody else who's not in the Bible, but I love, love, love this. And that Winston Churchill, he had the mama bear spirit when it came to his country. And his famous, famous speech, "We will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields. We'll fight in the streets. We'll fight in the hills. But we will never surrender because this is our nation." He was had the mama bear spirit that he may not have known what it was, but he was standing up for his nation. He wasn't going to let the enemies come in and destroy their nation. And that, and you know, I just want to say God said to me this week as I've been praying, he said, "I'm wanting that mama bear spirit to rise up. I'm wanting it to rise up for you, each of you, but I want it to rise up in your prayer life. The mama bear spirit should be heard when you are praying." I remember when we got the phone call when Jay had fallen off the cliff in Sydney 2 years ago. And I'll never forget, I was home with Brooke and Cam and Caitlin had been living with us at that time. And Cam was also working at home. And I remember that Cam rang Caitlin. She left work immediately. Caitlin, Cam, Brooke and I went into prayer. And there was a mama bear spirit there. I remember saying, under no circumstances is the enemy going to take our son. That he is going to walk and leap and praise God. He is going to live and not die. I remember we paced up and down in our lounge room for a long time while we were waiting to hear what was happening, while they were trying to get paramedics to him. But that mama bear spirit said, "I'm not losing my son. We are not going to let this go. We are going to see a miracle." And he is a walking miracle today. I remember when our third grandchild, Ada, was born and Caleb rang me and he said, "She's not breathing and they can't resuscitate her." And I still remember now going into the bathroom and I just began to scream. And I said, "Devil, you take your hands off my granddaughter. She will live and not die. She will not, you are not going to take her." And I remember that mama bear spirit that came up and said, "I am not settling for this, not on my watch, not on my watch." And that little girl just celebrated her first birthday just recently because God will respond to that intensity. And that, you know, I preached a few months ago on from Samuel where it talks about the bean patch. And it's in 2 Samuel 23. It says, "The next in command was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite." I don't know if any of those names are pronounced right. "When the Philistines assembled, and that it happened to be an area where a field that was full of lentils, the army retreated before the Philistines. But this one man, he was called the son of Dodo. He made a stand in the middle of that area and he defended it and single-handedly defeated the Philistines because he was not going to let anybody take their bean patch." And that the Philistines' army had assembled their units together and they were trying to destroy the agricultural means for God's people. But God protected and honoured him with a victory because he protected that bean patch. I started thinking as I was praying this week, I started thinking we all have our own bean patches. Hasn't God given us a mission as a church? A mission and a vision individually, something he's placed on us to be a steward of, that is our bean patch. And Satan's purpose is to bring opposition in our life, to attack with fear and intimidate us. He wants to overwhelm us, but we must not let the size or the roar of the enemy force us to run. We cannot give up and we will not give in. And that I want, you know, this morning, I began to think when I thought of the concept of the mama bear. I said, I brought Buddy's big teddy bear because it's so big and I hope you will always remember it and remember this message. But I got some bears here. This is my grandpa bear. The girls bought this for me quite a few years ago. Those of you who are privileged to know my dad, who was the founding pastor of our church, he always wore a suit. Never didn't own a pair of jeans, didn't own a pair of tracksuit pants. He always wore a suit and a jumper and a tie. And that's my grandpa bear. And then this bear. This bear's a little bit older now. This bear came from Disneyland. And my dad bought him for me on one of our trips to America. Or I actually wasn't with him on this trip. He was there on his own. And he went and he bought this for me. And this is Big Al. And Big Al is part of the Country Bear Jamboree at Disneyland. And he plays a guitar. And then you've got, well, this is Paddington Bear. He's latest in our little bear clan. And that. And one of the reasons, or this one, is that this one's come from Buckingham Palace. He's a guard bear. Okay, he guards, was the queen then, but he guards the royal family. One of the reasons that I brought these was not just for a cute visual. None of these bears on their own look as though they could take down anything. This bear plays a guitar and sings country music. You know, this bear walks around in a suit. This bear is sassy, but he eats marmalade all the time. And then you've even got the guards. And I thought, Lord, when you see the guards outside Buckingham Palace, Peter and I have been there, they don't look as though they could do a lot, you know. They do look very mild-mannered. But I tell you what, if you tried to climb the walls or go in, you would soon be taken out. And the thing that I wanted this to represent, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't even really matter how you're presenting yourself. It's not the biggest bear that is going to win. It's the one that's going to have the most passionate heart, the most determination, the fact that you will say, that's my promise, that's my child, that's my family, that's my health, that's my church, that's my harvest, and I will not give in. As Winston Churchill said, I'll fight them in the hills, I'll fight them in the fields, I'll fight them in the beaches, but I will not give in. We've been called as a church to go forth and to go into the promised land, and to show, we need to show the tenacity of a mama bear who will willingly leave the 99 to go after the one, to pursue the one, and to fight for the unsaved members of our families. If you've got people in your family who are not Christians, I would encourage you and that you fight for them. That's your child. That's your child. That's your harvest. And that as pastors, Peter and I are like mama bears over the church. Mama bears can be male and female, okay? If the enemy comes in and tries to attack, that mama bear will be released. I remember when Mark was in hospital and just hours after being crushed by that car and Peter and I went into the ICU. Crushed by the tree. His car was crushed by the tree. When Mark was in the hospital, Peter and I went in and I remember that mama bear was released in us. I said, enemy, you're not taking Mark. You're not taking Mark. You're not taking Mark. We're going to see Mark fully delivered. I remember Jossie, I always remember when you were in hospital, and I remember going in there one night when David had called us and you were really struggling. And I still remember walking out into the car park, and I can remember exactly where I was where I said, You are not taking Jossie. And that mama bear spirit rose up. That's she's in our church. That's part of our church family. And there's a sense of ownership there. There is a sense of ownership. And we said, we are not going to let this go. We are not going to let this go. The same when Judith went into cardiac arrest and that in the operating theatre. And when they rang us and Graham contacted us, we said, we went into prayer because we said, she is part of our church family. And, you know, there's a phrase that says, not on my watch. Not on my watch means that you are not going to allow undesirable or negative things to occur while you are the one in charge. And today I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging you to say, you may not be the biggest bear in the room. You may be the little bear. You may be the one that's wearing a tie or the one that's sitting playing the guitar. Does not matter. It's that mama bear spirit that rises up in you when you say, I am going after what God's got for us. I am going after what God's got for Breakthrough or Heritage of Faith Church. I am going after what God's got for my family. I am going after what God has got for me personally. I am going after the visions. All of us, stand with me. Stand with me right now. If I could just get at least one musician, if that's okay. I just wanted you to begin to call to mind things that you know God has promised you. Healing, salvation of loved ones, a partner in life, a baby. God, whatever it is that God has promised you, whatever it is you're fighting for, and we are going to say together, we said, Lord, let that mama bear spirit be released. Let that mama bear spirit be unleashed. Let that mama bear spirit be unleashed, that we will not give up. We will not give out. We will not say no. We will not surrender because we are standing on what God has promised. Hallelujah. I really feel in my spirit. If you're believing to see God move in a particular area of your life, if God's given you a promise and it seems as though the enemy is doing everything he can to stop that promise from coming to pass. If you have unsaved loved ones that you are pressing in for, I want you to come and just stand out the front here this morning. And I'm not going to be praying for everybody, but I want there to be a point of contact because God said he wants to release a mama bear spirit in this Mother's Day service. Right now, if you just coming out the front, I'm going to come down. And in a minute, all of us are going to see. If I've got somebody who could maybe sing or play or whatever you guys can do, I'll leave it to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to come down and we declare there's going to be a mama bear spirit released. There is going to, it's rising up in me the same as it did that all those years ago. Jordan's 23 now, but I still remember that day. I still remember that day, and it's rising up within me. No, not on our watch. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. All of us are.